The following is a recording for Maria Verona from iAdvise on Wednesday, February 18th, 2015 at 10 a.m. Central, Megacable fourth quarter 2014. Hello everyone and welcome to the Megacable conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. For opening introductions, I'll turn the call over to Kenya Vargas of iAdvise Corporate Communications.
Thank you, Josh. Welcome to Megacable's fourth quarter 2014 conference call. Thank you very much for participating today. Joining us from Guadalajara are Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Megacable CEO, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, and Mr. Luis Ceres, Chief Financial Officer. They will be taking your questions during the Q&A session. It is important to mention that statements made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. These are subject to different conditions. For a complete disclaimer, we ask that you refer to the quarterly release that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive information and would like to be added to the Megacable's mailing list, please contact iAdvise Corporate Communications at 212-406-3691. At this time, Mr. Enrique Yamuni will begin his presentation. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being with us to review the full year and the last 3 months of 2014. A presidential year for the Mexican telecom industry and a year of significant growth and progress for Megacable. In 2014, we achieved results that exceeded our guidance and expectations. Through a suite of products and services that continued meeting the needs of our customers, we surpassed our targets for subscriber growth with outstanding levels of net adds, revenue increases, while continuing to generate strong cash flow levels. All of this was accomplished despite a year of sluggish economic recovery in Mexico and an environment of increased competition in the telecom industry. Megacable reported revenues and subscriber growth in its three core business segments, internet, video, and telephony. The internet segment showed another strong growth of 40% year-over-year in subscribers, above the natural increase of the market, which was 15%. This growth was driven by aggressive marketing campaigns, very competitive rates, and the best speeds in the market. Our customers continue to appreciate the stability and speed of service offered. In the telephony segment, the market statistics did not show positive growth. Nevertheless, Megacable has experienced a different trend and posted an outstanding growth of 25% in the subscribers base year over year. It's worth noting that Megacable possesses some of the highest EBITDA margins in the Mexican telecom industry, with EBITDA to CAPEX ratio of 48% and CAPEX to revenue ratio of 20% for 2014. Our CAPEX is aimed at growth, growing our network, increasing our homes passed, our subscribers, through investments in better CPE, new kilometers, more and smarter nodes, back office, better user interface, improved technology, and providing our associates and employees with the right tools to provide a more reliable service with greater productivity. Finally, regarding the company's financial structure, Megacable delivered strong figures in 2014 with strong cash flow generation and a prudent financial structure. We have the strength and financial resources to continue funding growth. 2014 looks to be very exciting in terms of product development and deployment. Megacable expects to launch new products while consolidating others, all with the goal of better serving customers and providing them with state-of-the-art communication and entertainment solutions. Megacable will continue to work diligently to become more competitive and stronger while maintaining Megacable's leading market position. We believe we have the quality of network, products, and customer service to continue our growth trends throughout our territories. Now, I will turn over to our Deputy CEO, Raimundo Fernandez, Raimundo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique. And hello, ladies and gentlemen. I will take a few minutes to review some operating highlights for the year before turning it over to Luis. In terms of our operating performance, Internet subscriber growth was spectacular, reaching more than 122,000 new ads in the quarter and almost 380,000 year-over-year. The quality, great service, and speeds of our products made this possible. Our speeds increased to a minimum of 10 megabits in major markets, and in general, 20, 50, or 100 megabits per second are now offered in all markets across the nation. In terms of video subscribers, the company reported 5% growth in the quarter, adding more than 107,000 subscribers and 262,000 year-over-year with 12% growth. It is worth mentioning that due to successful business strategies implemented in the fourth quarter, the video segment reported the highest subscriber growth in the history of Megacable. With regards to the digital segment, this business reported net adds of 128,000 in the quarter and 325,000 year-over-year. The telephony segment added 43,000 net adds in the quarter and 144,000 subscribers year-over-year, a growth of 6% and 25% respectively, to continue increasing our share in a very mature market. On the telephony side, as we announced last quarter, we have completed migrating our customers to a new voice platform, a solution that will greatly benefit our voice service, and it will certainly improve its stickiness among our actual customers while driving new ads. In order to achieve this subscriber growth, we increased sales across the three segments with highly focused campaigns while developing new distribution channels. Of significant importance was the reduction in churn in our video and internet segments, which was due to the high service quality both in terms of technology and customer care procedures. Telephony churn, however, was different because of the aggressive campaigns to penetrate this static segment. Keeping on track, our unique ARPU increased from 409 pesos for quarter 13 to 415 pesos in fourth quarter 14, an increase of 2% year-over-year due to the greater number of revenue-generating units that increased from 1.63 to 1.74 per subscriber. However, and we consider this normal, the video, broadband, and telephony ARPUs decreased year-over-year because of the aggressive campaign, increasing the triple pack packages, and the launch of some new low-price service. Data service have presented exceptional growth, and we're very proud that the strategy that we have adopted has been very successful. We will continue in 2015 with a very aggressive plan for adding more capacity in our network, along with new technology deployments that will substantially differentiate our data service in the market. Regarding our existing network, we can assure that the proper investment has been made to support not only the broadband growth, but the enterprise and the interactive video demand. Our national backbone continues to be improved, also with more bandwidth and more Tier 1 interconnection facilities. Lastly, as far as improving video infrastructure, we have begun activating our Master Headend initiative with the purpose of distributing our entire content portfolio from two main locations in the country, Guadalajara and Veracruz. The Veracruz site is about to become operational in the first quarter of 2015, and Guadalajara will be by the end of the year. This move will represent substantial operating cost reduction in our results and will improve the quality of service throughout our technology platform, while allowing a unified IP headend for multi-platform purposes. The business segment was a solid result too. During fourth quarter 14, enterprise revenue accounted for 567 million pesos, representing 18% of total revenue. MetroCarrier, MTN, Ola, and PCTV are part of this strategy. MetroCarrier continues to provide connectivity at the highest capacity to all business segments, and in alliance with Ola, our technology integrated company with wide corporate and government sector expertise, we have won several contracts that will significantly increase the revenue of this segment. With this added capability, Megacable Enterprise units are in a better position to penetrate this market, allowing us to participate in tenders and projects that require the sale of full integrated solutions and not just connectivity. The portfolio of services Megacable can now offer extends to cover all market segments and technology solutions that customers require. As a result, we will continue to expand services, consolidating operations within the company's business area into a single market area, serving business, corporate, and other telecommunication operators. That concludes my comments. I'll let Luis wrap things up with some key financials. Luis, please go ahead.
Thank you, Raimundo. I will provide some additional detail on our Q4 2014 results on the financial side. Based on the release issued yesterday, before we move to your questions. Regarding the company financials, Megacable's consolidated revenues rose 14% year-over-year to reach 11.5 billion pesos, exceeding the guidance given at the beginning of the year by 2%. This reflects the outstanding results in every revenue line in the P&L due to the growth in the operations Enrique and Raimundo have mentioned. Internet contributed the most to this growth with a 23% revenue increase year-over-year, followed by a 9% increase in telephony and 6% increase in video. Despite the 33.6 million pesos accrual related to the fine issued by the IFETEL, consolidated EBITDA rose 6%, reaching 1,255 million pesos for the quarter, and 11% or 848 million pesos for the full year 2014, for a margin of 40% in Q4 and 42.1% for the year. Adjusted EBITDA for cable operations under the same conditions in fourth quarter 14 rose 5%, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 42.7% and 44.3% for the full year. As a result of Megacable's strategy on growing the corporate enterprise and business market, in fourth quarter 14, revenue for corporate segment grew 28% compared to fourth quarter 13, and our corporate revenue from cable grew 40%. Mainly in the internet segment, as you know. Starting this quarter, we are incorporating in our numbers the recently acquired PCTV operation. In terms of PCTV, revenue for the rolling 2 months that we consolidated totaled 110 million pesos with an EBITDA margin of around 8%. These figures account for 4 points of the 14 points in the 14% growth in revenue, 9 points of the 15% increase in the cost, and 4 points of the 26% growth in the operational and general expenses for the quarter. Megacable continues to be a company that generates a strong free cash flow quarter to quarter and is strategically investing in the business. As of December 31st, 2014, cash in temporary investment was in round numbers 1,098 million pesos, higher than the company's debt. Thus, despite the volatility of our country's economy, at times an ever-increasing competitive landscape, Megacable faced these challenges head-on and was able to successfully provide, once again, solid numbers. And we are confident that in 2015, this trend will continue. In terms of CapEx for the fourth quarter of 2014, Megacable invested 579 million pesos, reaching 2.3 billion pesos for the full year. This was mainly allocated towards the purchase of terminal subscriber equipment, fixed assets, as well as the updated needed for the growth and modernization of the cable network. Finally, before we move on to your questions, I want to mention that the figures for the fourth quarter 2013 in our report yesterday include last year's adjustment from our external auditors. That concludes our presentation. We will now be happy to take your questions. Operator, please begin the Q&A session.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our first question comes from Andre Saba from Credit Suisse.
Thank you. Good morning, Enrique, Raimundo, Luis. Thank you for taking my question. I was wondering if you could please comment on Televisa's agreement to acquire Telecable. You know, what are your perspectives in terms of competition, given the geographical proximity, and if you can give us any thoughts you have on potential uses of the cash balance that you have accumulated? Thanks a lot.
Well, it happened. They bought Tevi. We're sorry we didn't. We tried. We don't know what was the strategy of Televisa, but they were the winners there. It was not a formal process. We were disappointed because the process was very chaotic. You know, they didn't really have a process there. They suddenly decided they were going to sell to Televisa, which was okay. Well, it was their decision. We don't know what motivated that. Obviously, they had a motivation to sell to Televisa instead of selling us. But well, we're okay. They made a lot of sense to us, and we continue growing organically and looking at different options. We still are looking at our options. We can't talk about that right now. We don't know what we're gonna, you know, what's our main objective now. It was Grupo EVI in the past, and what are we gonna do with the cash? Well, that's something that the board and the assembly of, you know, the owners' assembly will decide. And that will be in, it will be held in April. April 24th, I think, is our shareholder assembly. Obviously, I would think that the dividend policy will continue. We have a very strong balance sheet and very strong cash generation, free cash flow generation. The company is doing all the investments it needs to continue being a leader in the telecommunications industry wherever we operate. We're looking at different options, you know, to move ahead with maybe some acquisitions. We're continuing acquiring the small, very small operations that are, you know, around our operations areas. But those are very small. They are not significant, or they don't make a lot of difference in our balance sheet or operations. But everything adds, and we're doing that. The dividend policy, I think, is going to continue. You know, I don't see any, you know, the use for the money in the very near future won't be necessary. And on top of that, we have a very strong balance sheet to get any loans whenever we need to get loans to do any acquisition that arises in the future. That's pretty much my thought.
Okay, thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alejandro Gallostra from BBVA.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. I was wondering if you could give us additional details about your marketing expenses in 2014 and how much you plan to spend in 2015, given that marketing expenses are increasingly becoming a major driver of your margins, please. Thank you.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, you want to know about the numbers of the marketing campaign or what the marketing campaign. This is Raimundo. What we have done is have a very clear message to subscribers, and as you know, we have more than 50% of 50% of mobile and people play packages in the market, increasing, therefore, our RGUs per subscriber, and that's been successful to us in that part. For the rest, we have healthy market our brand again, which is Megacable. As you know, we canceled the joke campaign. Now that we have with Televisa, they launched the Easy, and now we have again our Megacable brand with all the three products and focus on quality, a new product in the HD and interactive service on the video. That's been very, very successful. In terms of financial, we are very careful to continue to have a percentage of revenue which is very, very market wide. Let's call it that way. I mean, it's nothing more than around 2.5% of revenues, and we think we can continue to have that into the future. What we have increased in marketing is our sales and commission because of the great success that we have on the sales of our products. And that's something that is we consider normal to keep bringing this growth that we have in subscriber and in revenue, putting some pressure over our OPEX because of that part, the commission. But at the end, is a better market penetration, better market share, and of course a much more solid result for us. Luis, you want to say something?
Yeah. In terms of the sales commission, the increase was about 34%. So that's where we really put the heat to increase the number of subscribers, and so far it's paying back.
That's the one you want to hear, Alejandro?
Yes, definitely. So basically, just to wrap up, the marketing expenses, you said, represent approximately 2.5% of revenues, you said, Raimundo?
Yeah, that's right, Alejandro.
And then when you mentioned the sales commissions, the figures you said was the annual growth or was the percentage of revenues?
We're not tracking that as a percentage of revenue. We're just measuring that compared to the past, but when you're in a marketing campaign and you're adding subscribers, well, of course there's a cost of commission and behind that, and part of the growth is really implied in the sales commissions that you are investing. So
remember, go ahead.
Okay, so for the next year, we will have some growth on that, but we don't expect that to be 35%. It's going to be less than that.
And if you see, I mean, it's very logical on that part. If we have a 40% increase on subscribers, on broadband subscribers, 12% in video, and 25% in telephony, with the churn, which is, by the way, like I said in my comment, that we have a spectacular growth in subscribers due to the combination of a good sales campaign and a decrease in the churn of the company. The churn right now is around 2.2% in internet broadband, and we're very, very, very proud of that part. But, there's no more we call it in order to grow. If we want to be 40% above last year in internet with 2% churn, we need to sell 50% more broadband subscribers, just to get to achieve that 40. And that's what puts pressure on the OPEX. That continues to be our job every day, to be efficient in commission and efficient in the market channels that we have. But that's just the way it is to grow. There is no other way to do it. I don't know if that answered, Alejandro, your question.
Yes, definitely. Thank you very much. And my second question is related to the corporate business. I don't know if you're ready to give us an idea of what are your growth expectations going forward for this business line and how do you expect to achieve these targets.
Luis, you want to say about the financial, exactly how it comes, and then I'll tell Alejandro what our view of the corporate is.
Sure. Okay. So the growth we see for 2015 on all the it's 68%.
68%.
On the MTM, OLA, and PPTV.
Without the metro carrier.
Without including metro carrier. So not revenue not coming from our cable operations, we expect to grow 68% for the following year. So it's not a low number.
Okay, and let me tell you a little bit more about the corporate, because that's something that that we have high hopes on that part. As we said in our quarterly report, we are now giving you a chart that explains in more detail our revenue business breakdown. In that one, you can see that corporate income and carrier, which includes Metro Carrier, MCM, All, and PCTV, has increased quarter over quarter 28%, but year over year 78%. You know, that's what we're looking at the corporate segment. But also, when you are talking about the very small and micro businesses in Mexico that are the majority, those ones have a very good increase of revenue of around 30% year over year and 40% quarter over quarter. Those ones you don't see separate because are spread about the different segment units, since we sell that as the Mega Cable empresas or Mega Cable enterprises, small businesses, is part of our massive market. All compound, we look at increasing 60% for 2015 pretty much, in between one unit and the other one, which we're very, very, very excited about that part. This includes small, mid-sized to large enterprises and corporate and government. And how are we planning to achieve that? Well, that's a combination of the, you know, it's been almost 18 months, I think, when we acquired OLA. Also Metro Carrier has been split within the organization to be a single focus unit target to large enterprises. And all our surveys that we do with our customers at the market, they grade us as one of the highest quality companies to provide high corporate services and carrier class services on that part. Of course, we have also the GTAC fiber optic network across the nation that does allow us to interconnect businesses within our cities and with cities that we have no presence right now in massive markets. We do have on corporate services on that. So we have a very robust offer to provide in everything, in managed services, in hardware infrastructure that we provide, connectivity, and so on and on. So, well, that's the way that we're planning to achieve that road, and I'm pretty sure we will.
Great. Thank you very much for the explanation.
You're welcome, Marcel.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ivan Hernandez from Scotiabank.
Yes. Hello, actually. This is Andres Coelho. Thanks for taking my question. Of course, the growth in the fourth quarter was very strong, but as of January 1, we saw Telmex launching some new promotions and upgrading its packages, including Claro Video for free. This week, Telmex announced a new entry package with some aggressive tablet subsidy. So I was wondering, how do you think this changes the competitive landscape? What actions are you taking to compete against Claro Video? If you believe that OTT will, begin to replace or substitute traditional pay TV in Mexico, just wondering, how do you think that changes the competitive landscape? And my second question is related to FX. Obviously, the Mexican peso depreciated by around 10% since the third quarter of the year. So I was wondering how that could impact your cost structure. I understand you have a hedge strategy there with content providers, but perhaps you can give some color on what impact we should expect from FX in terms of your EBITDA margin. Thank you.
Okay, Andres. Let me answer this round again. Let me answer the first part, and then I'll let Luis review the effect of the 2% devaluation that we have on our markets, and I'll help him if we both will do that. On the first one, yes, we know that Telmex launched a new entry package on that part. I can tell you that entry package of 333 pesos is less than we right now offer to our subscribers. When you get to our offices, our broadband and telephony package, that, by the way, it goes 10 megabits on that part, so it's a much more faster and better service package. That's why we have grown so much. The only thing you have to say is I want internet or telephony, and that costs 200 pesos. Or I want both, and it costs 300 pesos. So the combination is still more than 10% below what Telmex launched as an entry. And that's how we've been doing business for the last, you know, the last 12 months or 14 months, that we have, you know, targeted the market with a very, very clear message, a combination of good quality products and message on that part with the price that we have, you know. We do have tablets for our subscribers. You know, those tablets are also sold for sale in a monthly basis to select subscribers on that part. But believe me, I mean, that 40% increase last year, we have the pressure. And I can tell you that the way we feel the market, the way we feel we're doing, I'm not going to change anything. We're not going to change anything. We're doing things very, very, very well right now in terms of operation and marketing and message to the subscribers. In terms of OTT, let me tell you, we have our next generation services we call Megacable Evolution, that has a very clear strategy across all the different segments. In terms of video, everything that goes around video is right now in HD. We have a very, very, very good offer of more than 60 channels in HD to the majority of our subscribers, I mean, to all our segments, all our systems. Most of our systems, with the exception of very, very small systems, have access to that HD. We have also the possibility of doing DVR, and very soon you will see the next generation services in video that will move the video on time. We call it the time shift. It's called the time shift, and we're very, very excited that we're working fast in that part. That will be very, very a very good offer to our subscribers. But we also have our Megacable Play. Megacable Play is an integration, an OTT portal that integrates the best of pay TV, the best of linear TV, and the best of an SVOD or subscription VOD package like Claro Video and Netflix has. Let me get more deep into that part. Since we offer a pay TV package, we have the access to linear TV with some of our actual programming and vendors. And the ones that we produce, of course, like CCTV, we do have the rights to do that. So our subscribers can see live TV on their tablet or on the multi-platform, cellulars, whatever gadget you mention on, they can see the live TV channel. That's something that we do have that they don't have. We also have on that Megacable Play the integration of the best of the content produced by our programming and associates. This means that if we have Fox, we have Turner, we have Discovery, Universal, and all the ESPN, Disney, we count them, and we're integrating their players that are OTT players into one single platform for our subscribers that give them a competitive edge among just a single SVOD package. And we also have an SVOD package. This SVOD does allow you to see series. Let's say that you are watching Game of Thrones on HBO. You know, we have Game of Thrones. You have right now the last season, for example, with our HBO Go. And if the subscriber wants to see the full season, they can go to the Go. Or if it's not there, they can go to our SVOD and watch the first, the second, the third, and whatever season they have of the most popular series. Of course, we don't have all the series, but we have right now more than 6,000 hours of SVOD content that we have for our subscribers. So in that one, when you say that Telmex is giving that for free, well, they are giving that for free on a 333 pesos package or a 389 that they have for subscribers right now, which, by the way, is a 389 with a line that some people don't want, but they still have the broadband. We're below that, and we're packaging our OTT. You know, ours is for free to subscribers according to what video package they have, you know, but the SVOD. For the SVOD, they have to pay unless they have the Mega Total and some triple play package that we want strategically to upgrade. So we keep an eye on the competition, we keep an eye on the OTT, and, you know, at the end, I think it's going to be an integration, but it's going to take years from now to take away pay TV from the Latin subscribers in Mexico. You know, we're growing 12%, and we're expecting to continue to grow at that pace. You know. By the way, we're gaining market share again. In 2014, we gained market share on video, and we gained market share compared to our competition in all the segments, not only video. Of course, broadband and telephony. I don't know if that, you know, I like to talk, so I talk a lot when I like the what we're doing.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you.
And related to the second question on the depreciation of the Mexican peso, yes, it has impacted us for the last piece of the part of the year, and we already included this in our forecast for 2015. So. All in all, basically on the programming cost is already embedded. We expect an impact around 7% just coming from the depreciation of the Mexican peso in the programming cost. In related to other costs, basically it will impact CapEx more than OpEx, and we are already considering that for the CapEx for this 2015.
Luis, why don't you tell them what our guidance is, because they are going to ask it.
Yep.
I don't know if you know. Let's go to that one.
Sure. Director. Okay. For 2015, our guidance is in terms of revenue growth, we expect to grow around 19%. On the EBITDA, our expectation is to grow around 15%.
Mm-hmm.
On CapEx, we expect to invest between $195 to $200 million. On subscribers, our expectation is to grow video subscribers on a 12%, internet 30%, and telephony 17%. RGUs, we expect to grow around 18% as well.
Let me tell you a little bit more about how we are looking at that guidance that we just explained to you. We have, you know, as most of you report, you know, we exceed expectations regarding revenue in most of the cases that you were looking at our company. We right now look and we expect to grow that 19% coming from a growth like Alejandro about the corporate business segment. We expect to grow 68% across those units and 14% from the massive market. Massive market, of course, with the growth of 12, 30, and 17% in the different segments. We hope we can achieve it, and we are confident that we won't disappoint on that part. But at the end, our EBITDA will grow less than our revenues because of the less margin that we have in the corporate segment. So that way we'll put some pressure on that, but still it's a pretty good, we estimate if we can achieve that, a 15% growth on EBITDA, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a 30% increase in broadband, below what we have in 2014. We hope we can exceed that, but you know, we're growing more than the market is growing on that point. I'm taking away market share from the competition. So we're a little bit more conservative on that point. Since the 40% of 2014 was also spectacular compared to the other one, but who knows, you know, maybe we will surprise you again with telephony and broadband. So that's pretty much how we see the guidance, and I hope you like it and you agree on our number. Now we're up for the next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos de la Garreta from GNM.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the question. Just following up on that guidance, the numbers, the operating figure seems obviously aggressive, and following up on the fact that ARPUs are apparently lower for the second quarter in a row at least. So does it mean that you're focusing more on volume rather than quality going forward, or are you having a more balanced strategy as it is the tradition in Mega Cable? Thanks.
That's a good question, Carlos. We do expect the individual ARPUs to have a slight decrease from 2015. We can tell you exactly the number. We are also looking, of course, on an increase on the unique ARPU. We are looking at the market, increasing market penetration. That one will continue to be. And, of course, as long as we continue to increase in lower economic segments of the market, since, you know, the C-, D, and E levels are the ones that are beginning to adopt internet, we need to be there in those houses with an entry package to increase broadband penetration, not only for Megacable, but in general in our community. That one is something that is going to happen whether we want it or not on that part. But, like I said before, we have a very clear idea of how to balance those ARPUs with a value-added services like video with HD and the time shift and interactive. And the other segment that we have, which is the corporate segment, that one will help us also to continue to create more revenue coming from different segments that is not only from the massive market. Now, Luis, you have the exact numbers of the ARPUs per unique subscriber. I mean, per segment.
Per segment, yes. And yes, because all that Raimundo has mentioned, we expect a small decline on every one of the ARPUs. On video, we expect a decline about 7 pesos. On internet, about 10 pesos. And on telephony, we expect a decrease of about 13 pesos. So there's an explanation for each one of those, long distance and other things that are impacting telephony. The RTUs per subscriber also, because when you have a package, of course, there's a discount for every segment. So all segments suffer from packaging them in a single bundle. So
that point is important, Carlos, because it's not that we sell a lower price to subscribers to increase our penetration, but it's also that we're growing 12% video, but we're growing more internet and telephony on that part, and that won't put pressure on the video subscriber too. So when you take the discount of the package to the price of the individual segment, it does bring a discount on the price to that person. So it has several impacts when we grow, you know, like Luis is telling you that part. But at the end, our goal is to bring a growth in EBITDA for the company and a very decent growth for that. And I think 15% is a good number. We like it.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you very much. And just following up on PCTV operations, the revenues and margin that we saw this quarter, should we expect that to be more or less stable, or do we see seasonality in the revenues? Thanks.
Well, PCTV is not a company that was created to make high numbers on EBITDA. So yes, we expect around 8-9% margin to be stable during the year.
Yeah, and PCTV, remember that CAT an strategic way for us. That's our content provider or a content, our own company that produces content for us. Let's bring it that way. It does have 5 channels, 6 channels actually. And we have some good plans in terms of making PCTV a better content provider for other systems and for us in that part. So we cannot tell you exactly right now on that part. We wouldn't like to reveal that. But you'll see PCTV trying to have a better life on that part. Let's see if we can do it on that part.
Okay, that sounds very promising. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sumit Datta from New Street Research.
Yeah, hi there. Two or three questions, please. First of all, just on homes passed, there was a pretty material step up in Q4. I just wondered, was that kind of purely organic? And should we, if so, should we expect that kind of improvement or increase in homes passed continue in 2015? Secondly, just on the guidance, sorry, can I just double check? So when you're talking about 19% revenue growth, that is capturing the sort of full year's consolidation of PCTV. So that is just reported revenue for 15 versus reported revenue for 14. And then a slightly more kind of strategic question to finish, please. Can you give us an update on what your thinking is on your cellular strategy going forward? I know you've had an MVNO with, I think it was Movistar, historically. Are there any discussions with AMX on another MVNO or any other plans you can talk about? Thank you.
Sure. Well, regarding HomePass, we activate some kilometers at the end of the year on that part of network. And that's how you increase pretty much. If you see, that's organic growth. That's what I want to say on that part. Pretty much, we increase 50,000 compass, and we put 300 kilometers on that part. I don't know, Luis, if you have something.
Right. Well, growth was about 9% in compass last year, every year we build new kilometers of network. Around 2,000, 3,000 kilometers of new network, and that brings, of course, new home paths and new subscriber opportunities.
Yeah, but over the quarter, what's a normal growth?
Right.
What's organic normal growth in that part? We built around 351 kilometers, which is, yeah, this is very conservative for the size of our company in that part. So there's nothing really different on that part. Luis, about the 19% revenue, it does include PCTV and all the...
Yeah, that's part of the effect of including a full year of PCTV for 2015. That's right.
And like I said, it does include 14%, 14.5%, something like that, regarding the massive market, and the rest will come from corporate segments to achieve that 19% growth.
For 2000, basically, cable operations are growing around 14%.
Cable operations, and the other one will come from corporate and different segments. Mm-hmm. And the last one, Sumit, was the cellular strategy. We will continue while looking at different options that we might have. I can tell you we don't have anything right now, but we continue. We see that we have very smart about whether to get and not to get into the cellular business, whether that will contribute really a margin for the company and a growth of revenue, and not a problem. You know, what we have in the past was a lot of effort internally and can compete not even with our own MVNO provider. So right now we're expecting to have that in the future. We're waiting for the government to have a public offer. We will launch or not an MVNO on that part. No. Of course, looking ourselves in cellular and that is something that is part of our review right now. But we're looking at different MVNOs. I don't think if you want to say something.
No, it's pretty much what you mentioned. It's your comment is right. We're looking at our options, and we are looking also at what kind of advantage can we take from the new regulation to launch a better MVNO. The MVNO that we have doesn't really, I mean, it's not attractive. It's very hard to market that. I don't know what others, MVNOs that have launched in Mexico are doing. You know, I don't see them very attractive. And if you want to do an MVNO, you have to pick your niche and also have a good strategy, and that can be done if you don't have a good contract and good protections and provisions with the MVNO provider that you choose. So that's what we're looking at. We'll release whatever you have something ready.
Just to, if I could, a quick follow-up on that last point. Are you actually in discussions with America Mobile at the moment? What's the sort of timeline then? Are you waiting for some kind of directive to come from IFTEL, or are you trying to conclude some commercial agreement with Telcel or with AMX?
Yes, as you can, you're aware that America Mobile released and published the public offering of infrastructure for the other operators, and the IFT accepted that, but it had a little problem. The problem is that it didn't have any prices. So, but the IFT is saying, okay, you have to please sit and negotiate with America Mobile. You know what they are, offering as infrastructure, you know, the unbundling they did, which is towers and radio cells and fiber and all that, but it has a small problem. You don't know what the price you will have to pay for that. So IFT says, sit down with them and try to negotiate a price. If you don't reach a price, then we will set the pricing or the cost for the infrastructure. So that's what we're doing. We are asking Telmex to give us the price of any, you know, all the infrastructure they are supposed to lease or make available to all the operators. And we are in that process.
And is there a cutoff point for that? If they don't agree?
There are times in the public offering, you know, that IFT accepted, and they are, in our opinion, long times could be better, but you're talking about 120 days or something like that.
Okay. All right. Very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your phones now. Again, that is star one to ask a question. And our next question will come from Michelle Morin from Morgan Stanley.
Yes, hi everyone. I just want to follow up a little bit on PCTV. You gave a little bit of detail as to what they do, and you have ambitious plans there, it seems. I'm not that familiar with it, so I was wondering, is Televisa a customer of PCTV? Would be the first question. And then secondly, we are on the one-year anniversary of the must-offer rule going into effect, and I was wondering whether or not we should anticipate that as part of the agreements that you reached a year ago, whether or not there are annual price increases that were baked into your new agreements, and if that's something we should anticipate going forward. And then finally, you mentioned that you're gaining share, presumably primarily at the expense of Telmex. And I was wondering, could you give us a little bit more color as to how you're gaining share? Are you basically, your broadband subscriber net additions, are these mostly customers who did not previously have broadband, or are they customers who are coming from Telmex? What would be the proportion of those, just roughly speaking, to get a sense of where that growth is coming from? Thank you.
Well, let me tell you, if the market grew 15% and we grew 40%, it's obvious we're gaining market share. There are not very many broadband providers. There's 3 or 4 broadband providers in all the areas. We're taking market share. Some of the subscribers are new subscribers. Some of the new subscribers we get come from other operators, from mobile operators or from fixed operators. We compete with in some areas with other cable companies. We compete in all our areas with Telmex or American Mobile. We compete with Total Play, with Axtel, with a lot of operators. So we're taking market share, I think, from a little piece from every one of them.
Our offer is very competitive. We are very massive. The capillarity of our company and our network is impressive. We are almost everywhere in our service area, so that helps. And regarding PCTV, well, PCTV is a company where our goal is to make PCTV a better company, more efficient, a company that will be able to produce programming for everyone, or produce syndicated shows for at the request of other programmers that we're talking to. So we were leasing that facilities to anyone that wants to have productions made to order for them. And on top of that, we are continuing to produce the channels that PCTV has been producing, for several years now, and we are working on improving the quality of that programming. No, Televisa is not a customer of PCTV. Televisa used to be a customer of PCTV, the Televisa cable companies that are affiliated or that have been acquiring. They decided that they would not continue to buy PCTV programming. They still buy our programming in some of those companies. We wish that they would continue buying that, but we don't know. It's uncertain whether they will continue buying that or not. They are customers in the recently acquired companies that from Televisa, but we don't know what is going to happen in the future. But we are prepared to continue with the company on our own, and I think it's going to be successful. We are reinventing the company.
Okay.
And regarding Moscari, yes, we have a multi-year agreement with Televisa, and it has price increases on a yearly basis, and it's considered in our business plan, and it's already there in our budget.
And would there have been a price increase already in the fourth quarter, or is that something that will start to impact in Q1?
It's a multi-year contract. I don't have it in my mind when is the increase coming, but it's in the initial anniversary of the contract that we have.
And it depends. It's not related to the most carry on. I mean, we have contracts with all different content providers, which have different end of date to be renewed. Some of them have an increase, some of them don't. Some are fixed, some are per subscriber. So if you grow subscribers, you pay more. So it has nothing to do with the most offer, most carry in that sense. It's more of the relation that we have, not only with Televisa, but with all the other vendors like Fox and the rest.
Right, and there's been, in recent years, there's been a lot of inflation in programming costs, globally, maybe recently we're starting to see that change a little bit, so I'm wondering, should we be anticipating that in dollar terms your content costs are going up mid to high single digits, or, what would be the right order of magnitude to be thinking about, and have you noticed a change in kind of inflation in programming costs?
Well, we're growing 12% subscribers for 2015. The less you can expect is a 12% increase in programming costs. But for the rest, we do have increases by contract in some of them that will bring our cost of programming above that 12%. For sure, Luis can tell you that in a second exactly or pretty much what we expect on programming on that part. It's our job to make the programmers aware that we collect money in pesos and we cannot sell a content in dollars and be inflated because we cannot pass through to our economy. It's their job to tell us the other way around, like you are saying, that the cost of programming is increasing. So that's a battle that has been on for the last 20 years. Every year, we get the pressure of our programmers with more channels and more content and increased of that content, but so far we have managed to keep the levels the way you see it. We do not expect any high surprises on that. But Luis,
yeah, sure.
You can tell us roughly what we see on programs.
Yes, as we mentioned earlier also, the depreciation of the peso is going to impact programming costs, not to the 10 or 11% that has been depreciated, but we have measured that on a 7% due to some hedges that we have. So if you add up the subscriber growth on 12% and on that 7%, you go to a 20-21% increase in our cost of programming for the following year. And that's basically how it will be shaped.
Great. Thank you very much for the color.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andre Baggio from J.P. Morgan.
Hi, everyone. Let's make a follow-on question regarding the agreements with Telmex. I remember at some point that you were saying that Telmex was charging very high prices for links. Can you tell me if you already got all the benefits of the reforms with the relationship with Telmex, or are there still more negotiations to come that could be meaningful for the financials of Megacable?
Well, we are still negotiating. Like Enrique was telling you, we have a public offer ruled by the IFT that is missing just one single point, which is the price. So which we believe is the most important. We are looking and negotiating with them, and we still don't know what the final price of some more issues will, some more infrastructure will come into the future. So far, we've been impacted by the, and our numbers have been impacted by the decrease of the interconnection cost, the decrease of long distance. We still haven't get benefits, but some of the benefits will come also from being able to grow in terms of kilometers of construction in places where Telmex is exclusive. For example, things like the MVNO that we might have, and a better offer of broadband in places where we don't have any other access, like La Baja. But at the end, all around, the numbers, like the guidance that you see, does include pretty much what we're trying to get from Telmex on that part.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rodrigo Villanueva from Merrill Lynch.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. I was wondering if you could give us more color regarding the increase in revenues coming from corporate and carriers. In the fourth quarter, excluding PCTV, they declined by around 9% year-on-year, and it seems that you're willing to increase those revenues, excluding PCTV as well, by around 40% in 2015. What are you planning to do in order to achieve this growth? That would be my first question. Thank you.
Yeah, Rodrigo. We need to see the full year and not only the fourth quarter to understand the growth that we are achieving for 2015 and 2014 in that part. But go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, Rodrigo. And yes, if you recall, when we were talking 1 year ago in this same phone call, there were some, not complaints, but some questions about why Ola was coming with such a large revenue in the last quarter. And we mentioned that was not a normal quarter for Ola, that they got all basically half of the revenue for the year maybe coming on the last quarter, and for sure like 70% of EBITDA. So that was a very good and outstanding quarter for them. And that's why we are showing numbers not really slowing down if you look at them over the yearly basis, but on a quarterly basis. So that's when Raimundo was mentioning that you have to take a look on a yearly basis. And yes, we have high expectations on some contracts that Ola has already achieved, including one with CFE and some others that will increase the revenue on the numbers that we are expecting. Also on Metrocarrier Q4 13, we had an outstanding and we saw an error on the last quarter, and that's why also
revenue in the previous year was a little bit higher in that quarter. So net to net, we expect the numbers to be very consistent on our guidance, and yet that's how we expect the behavior to be. It's a growth of 40%, around 40% in those segments.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Raimundo and Luis. And regarding PCTV, is it reasonable to assume revenues for full year 15 of around 450 million pesos, or these numbers should be higher than that?
If you take in consideration that we have 110 million in 2 months, a little bit more than 2 months, so we think it's going to be closer to 680, 700.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. At this time, we have no further questions waiting to be answered in the queue. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni for closing remarks.
Yes. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being in our call today. We look forward to a very productive year for Megacable and hope to see you soon in person. In the meantime, if you have any additional questions or concerns, please don't hesitate to contact me, Raimundo, Luis, or Saul from our investor relations teams, and we will be happy to assist you. Hope to hear from you soon. Thank you very much.
Not much to add, but thank you, like Enrique saying, from our part. And we hope you like our results and see that we have the messages still and continue to be that we have a very clear idea of how to continue to grow the massive market. We're very excited about the corporate, and we will continue to look how to grow this company hopefully. Thank you, and you know, we're open for questions whenever you want. Give us a call on our part.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.